This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Have in the studio our next guest with us. We've got Gillian Murray, who is an actress who's
award-winning actress.
I was going to get to that one when we start talking to Gillian. It's in a play called The Year of Magical Thinking, which is will be at the White Horse Theatre. On Saturday the 11th, but we'll talk a bit more about that show. Gillian, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
And a pleasure, Gillian. Now, what we would like to do before we talk about the show and your performance is just a little bit of a background and your sort of story. How did you get started in the arts and acting in particular?
Well, I was at Melbourne University in the 70s. I wonder if any of your listeners remember the 70s.
Hey, I do.
Well, we do.
This is good. I'm amongst friends. So when I was at university, I got involved in student theatre. That led me to attend a drama school in the UK. I stayed on in the UK and worked as an actor there for a number of years, then came back to Australia, worked here in theatre, film and television, and then took about a 20-plus year break away from theatre.
Why?
All sorts of reasons. Not the primary reason, but I did marry an artist.
Right.
And I thought, after having a child, gosh, one of us has got to have a regular income. Oh, that's me, is it? Okay. So I left the business for a number of years and re-entered probably about 5 years ago.
Right. And did you miss it while you were away for that 20 years?
No, it was a purposeful decision say thou shalt not act. But like any actor, you get offered a fabulous role, and times had changed. Our son had grown up. My husband was much more established. So I got offered a fabulous role and accepted that.
And what was that in?
That was a play by the same director who is directing The Year of Magical Thinking, the play we're talking about. And that was a play by a French writer, Marguerite Duras. And it was only to be a short season. We ended up having 5 seasons, a national tour. I won the Green Room Award for it.
Congratulations.
And I thought, well, maybe it is a bit like getting back on the bike, you know, maybe I haven't lost it. So that was the beginning of, the new phase.
Right. Yeah. Now, tell us about this group that you're part of. You're actually touring.
Yes. So this play, The Year of Magical Thinking, is touring throughout Australia. Well, when I say throughout Australia, it's touring pretty much the East Coast.
Uh-huh.
So after the performance at the White Horse, I will go to Hobart, the Theatre Royal in Hobart. It is a stunning theatre, isn't it?
Yep.
And we're in the new theatre. So they have the glorious old convict-built theatre, and then next to that is a new black box studio. So that's where I'll perform this, which is highly appropriate because it really is a conversational piece with the audience. So after Hobart, don't quote me on this because it's all going to merge into one, but I know somewhere along the way I'm in Canberra, I'm at Mullaney, beautiful Mullaney, Byron Bay, Coffs Harbour, where else am I? Somewhere along the East Coast until July 18.
Wow. But what's it like just you're doing 2 shows in 1 day at White Horse? That's pretty demanding.
It's huge. And particularly, this is a one-woman show. I am on stage, just me, for an hour and a half.
Wow.
So it's a bit like running a marathon.
Yeah.
Not that I've ever run a marathon, but I imagine it might be a bit like running a marathon.
And how do you go when it's a one-person show? Does it just flow beautifully? You know, like obviously you're a professional person and you're an actor, but is there times when sometimes your thought pattern isn't quite there? And do you ever get that fear?
That's such a terrific question, because I think it's this fascinating thing about the work of an actor. You can be on stage, mm-hmm. absolutely on song with the work, but at the same time you're thinking, gee, there's a person in a yellow puffer jacket there and they're going to take that off and that's going to be really noisy. And you're also thinking, I said, rather than, for example, this writer, Joan Didion, is a beautiful writer and every word is purposeful. So, for example, when I gave the performance a week ago, she says, and on one level, you'll have a pretty good idea of whatever it was that's just happened. And I said, and at one level. So I used the wrong preposition.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking about the lady with the yellow puffer jacket. I'm thinking about having used at instead of on. And then I'm also thinking where I am in terms of the light, but I'm also feeling very present within the character. So it's a weird business.
Yeah.
So I suppose those little sort of changes in words, I'm sure the people in the audience, unless they've memorized the text, they wouldn't pick it up. Yeah. But does that throw you off, or can you go to the point where you can just pick up and move on?
I can, thankfully. I'm going to touch the wood in the studio. I can thankfully move on.
Yeah.
But it just takes you momentarily for a microsecond, thinking, oh, I wished I'd said on instead of at.
Yes, okay.
And what about performances when you're on stage and you come off and you're heading off for the day? Do you think, oh, I could have done better than that? You know, like, does that come into your thought pattern very often?
I think that's the nature of being in a creative business. And I'm going to quote, and I have no idea where it comes from, but in terms of the artistic process, someone once said, it's a constant state of becoming.
Mm.
So you're always aiming to be better than what you were the night before.
Mm.
But
there must be sometimes, though, that you go, I've nailed that. That's that's on song.
You're absolutely right. And then that's usually the night the director will say, actually, you know.
There was
no. So darn it all, you know. Why is it not a science instead of an art, you know? But that's the beauty and the attraction of it, of course. Yeah.
All right. Mm. Tell us a bit about this play. Or do you call it a play?
Yes, it is a play. We have lights, we have sound, we have music.
It's not a monologue per se, or?
Well, it is a one person speaking to the audience. It's almost like a conversation up until a certain point. Like a conversation with the audience. It's by, as I mentioned, the writer Joan Didion, an American writer, who wrote this piece initially as a memoir. And it deals with the topic of, I suppose, an area that all of us know one of these days we will face, though our fervent desire is not to, that one of these days we'll lose someone close to us. And so she writes about this in a way that I think many of us could not, a brilliant writer, but she writes of it with great at times, believe it or not, given the sadness of the topic, with great humour. And in fact, one reviewer said when we did this play pre-COVID, the mists of time, pre-COVID, wrote something like, it's almost at times like a stand-up routine, which is probably going a bit far.
Yeah.
But The Year of Magical Thinking, the title, comes from this sane, intelligent woman, after the loss of her husband, believed that he would actually come back.
Oh.
And thought about this in a very logical way. And there's a moment in the play, for example, one of these magical thinking moments, and that's along the lines of, you know, anthropologists who study societies might say, well, so if we sacrifice the virgin, the rain will come back. She at one point says, if I keep his shoes, He will come back. Okay. She doesn't actually say he will come back, but she talks about the fact that there was a point when she realized everyone had been saying this, a point when you have to give his clothes away. And she said, you know, many people had mentioned this, usually under the guise of offering to help, but she'd resisted. She didn't want help. She could manage it. She stopped at the door to the room. She could not give away his shoes. Mm. She stood there a moment, then realized why. He would need shoes if he was to return.
Yeah. Well, but there's no logic in that, though, is there?
None whatsoever. And she goes on to say, you know, the recognition of this thought by no means eradicated the thought.
Mm.
And that's the magical thinking. If I do this, this will happen, surely.
Mm.
If I have a funeral, then I've played along, I've followed the rituals. Oh, done. He still isn't back.
Yeah, so it's an interesting thing how a death can really throw a lot of people. And that clothes thing about not giving clothes away or the shoes away in this instance, it's fascinating. So,
and someone too, I think, you know, those partners in our lives where we've spent a long time with those partners and it's the... I mean, touch wood, I haven't experienced it yet, but it is that weird thing of the unending absence, isn't it?
Yep.
It just doesn't stop.
Yeah.
And what do you fill it with? Anyway, so we're probably getting a little too deep and a little too sad, but and as I said, this play does, she's sassy, this writer, and so there's... A lot of wit and a lot of humour and a lot of dry observation.
Mm. And when was it written? How long ago?
2005-ish,
okay.
I think.
Okay. And does she know that you're doing this?
Well, sadly, she is no longer with us.
Oh.
She herself died last year, Joan Didion.
Right. How old was she? Was she
85?
Oh, right. Okay.
Mm. Yep. So there was a long history of writing articles, books, novels, and she's really credited with what is known at the time in the 60s. She wrote a lot about the counterculture in the Bay Area in San Francisco.
Mm. It would have been fascinating.
Oh, absolutely. And she has such a sharp eye. Mm. So her essays are published in, there's two volumes. One's called Slouching Towards Bethlehem and the other one is called The White Album.
But The White Album?
The White Album.
Which is the Beatles.
The Beatles album.
Yeah,
the one we know and love.
Yeah, okay.
Well, I know and love.
Likewise. So how did you come across this this piece?
Well, I knew of the book and the director whom I'd done the Marguerite Duras piece with suggested it to me. And initially I was a little bit reluctant. Reluctant is the wrong word. Daunted, I think, is a better, more honest description.
Yeah.
Daunted at the prospect of... being on, and the previous play I had done, it was a two-hander. There were two people on stage, an hour and a half. So I suppose if one wants to look at it, it could be a progression. I've gone from two people on stage for an hour and a half to one person on stage.
What's the next move? You'll do it
I don't
off
know.
Stage.
Off
stage. You narrate
I'll
something.
Zoom it in.
Well, it sounds absolutely fantastic. It is on Saturday the 11th of June, which is next Saturday.
Yes. It is, yes.
Two shows, 2 p.m. and 8 p.m. And where is it on at?
So it is on at the White Horse Centre in Nunawading.
Yep. Well, they do a lot of great theatre there.
It's wonderful, isn't it, how these companies are able to get in-town shows just out of town.
Yep.
So you don't have to travel.
No, it's fantastic. Unless you live around the corner from here, you have to travel.
Well, that's true.
And what's the play called again?
The Year of Magical Thinking.
Thank you so much for coming in today. It was a lovely interview. Really enjoyed it.
Thank you. What a treat to be here.
Thank you so much. We've been talking to Gillian Murray here on Joy 94.9, Sunday Arts Magazine.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.